So I want to start with a very famous quote, one of my favorite quotes of all time. It is profound. It goes, Quan Li Zi Qing Xi Yu Zu Xia. Unbelievable. I mean, that is life-changing right there. My wife's going, oh, no, you did it. She read my notes before. That is amazing. Unbelievable, isn't it? Okay, put that first picture up. Yes, that's who said it. His name's Tao Che Ching. I kid you not. Okay. It means the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. The journey of 1,000 miles. Oh, that one. No. There's a recording, okay? So the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about discipleship. Oh, man, these Stokies are amazing. We need to make that like a thing. So we've been talking about discipleship, and it's been very theoretical. You know, what does the Bible say about this fellowship, discipleship, and what did Jesus do? But tonight, I want to delve into the practical aspects. What does it look like to follow someone? And what does it look like to have someone follow you? So, in the words of the learned Dylan, what does it mean to be one, to make one, and to find one? What does it mean? So practically, what does it mean? Okay, so for those of you that don't know, I am an athlete, and I like running. So I'm going to use a lot of running examples. Okay, so please bear with me. If you don't run, at some stage in your life, you have run. So you have sort of a frame of reference. I just like running more than most and a little bit further. Okay, I always say, how hard can it be? Just left, right, faster than anyone else. It's really, really simple to win a race. You just go faster than anyone else. Okay, so the word disciple, is it still? Okay. In Hebrew, it is talmid and limud. It means to live in someone's shadow. And it literally means to imitate a rabbi's actions, character, and lifestyle. So if you can put up the photograph number 2, please. That is my little, very suave young gentleman, Jan Paul. John Paul. Jan Paul is a different dude. John Paul, that's my son. That is us on Devil's Peak. Okay? You can see he's wearing a beanie. Like, I'm wearing a beanie. He's wearing a jacket. I'm wearing a jacket. He doesn't have sunglasses yet, but he's wearing hiking shoes like I'm wearing hiking shoes. He climbed up the mountain because I climb up the mountain. He likes climbing mountains because I like climbing mountains. He does what he sees me do. He's an imitator of me. He speaks like me. He acts like me. Sometimes it drives my wife mad, but he is a little version of me. He is an imitator of me. Okay. You put up the first scripture, James 1:22. I'm going to start reading. So we've heard a lot about the word and what the word says. But James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, no longer forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So Jesus is basically saying, if we follow these steps to discipleship, we will be blessed in what we do. Now, quick question. Who can hear the voice of Jesus all the time? You're not going to raise your hand. Oh, okay. Wow. That's a personal joke. But who can hear your brother and sister's voice all the time? You see? Now, that's one of the reasons why we have discipleship. Because sometimes we struggle to hear Jesus' voice. We don't always hear him. Sometimes Jesus stays quiet. But your brother, your sister, you can always hear their voice. It is a wonderful example of why we need to go to them, because we can go to them. If I can't hear Jesus for me, I go to Ivan, I go to Dylan, I go to Francois, I go, guys, I don't hear Jesus in this. Help me find him. So we need to go to our brothers. Matthew 4:19. Jesus says, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will send you out to make disciples. You know, Jesus said this 21 times to his disciples, follow me. Did he say, fly after me? Or run after me? Or run ahead of me? No, he said, follow me. Walk in my steps. Walk in my shadow. Be like Jean-Paul is with me. That's what Jesus said. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 11? Even Paul. So remember, Jesus, yes, we do follow Jesus, but we can't be discipled by Jesus because Jesus isn't amongst us anymore as a human being. We need to be discipled by each other. We need to disciple another human being and be discipled by another human. And that is why Paul says, follow me, follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. And if you look at someone like Ivan or Dylan or Francois, they are worthy of following. I can look at them and I go, if I live like they do, I will get nearer to Jesus. You understand? Is that good? Amen? Okay. Being a disciple means taking steps that are small, manageable, incremental, and intentional. Actions bringing us closer to Jesus. If you're making notes, write that down. Okay. But then you say, AJ, if I follow Dylan or if I follow Ivan, does that mean I'm no longer free? I can no longer live the way I want to be. Okay, what is it saying? You are free as a what? A bird. Is a bird free? It's governed by the laws of gravity, the laws of nature. It's going to die. So is a bird free? Is a bird free? Not really. When are you free? You're free when you follow Jesus. You're free when you're being discipled. You're free when you can follow someone that you trust. That's being free. A bird is not free. You're free when you walk in all Jesus has for you. And you will not walk in all Jesus has for you unless you walk with someone. Is that good? Okay. Psalm 119, if you can put up that picture. Okay. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not a lighthouse. Not a koplampie. I don't know what your headlights. Not a flashlight. That is what a lamp looked like in the Old Testament. How far can you see with that lamp? The next step. And the next step. Sorry, my stokies are very comfortable and quiet. Fail. The next step. That's all you can see. You're not meant to see miles ahead. You're meant to see the next step. That's what the lamp is for. The lamp is not to show you what's going to happen next week. You know when Dylan prayed, you know what I had? I had a spirit of fear. I was speaking in front of people. Okay, I don't like this. I don't like speaking in front of people. It makes me scared. But I had to go, Lord, I just lay that fear down because you will do what you need to do through me. I lay that fear down and I give that fear over to you. So sometimes we need to lay down the spirit of fear of the future. What's going to happen if my business fails? What's going to happen if one day my kids don't follow you? Those are my real fears. What's going to happen this? Lord says, you focus on the lamp. Next step. Next step. Next step. Next step. Next step. And you know what the beautiful thing is? If you walk two together, then there are two lamps. You can see more. Okay. Together, we are stronger. There's a saying that goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. Now, my best friend is here. Amazing to have you guys, Jacques and Kirst. Jacques knows that when I run with him, I tolerate him. No amens to that. I can go much faster alone. I like running alone. It's my time. It's my time with Jesus. But sometimes, if I run with Jacques, we can go further. Because alone you go fast. Together, you go far. Amen? So I want to show you video number 4. Just start it and pause it immediately. Okay. This is a race that I ran in 2013 across the spine of the Drakensberg. We ran, and the wind was 80 knots. Now, those of you that know anything about knots is 160, 80 knots is 160 k's an hour. Okay, play that clip. This is a running race, by the way. The wind was so strong, and you could see literally meter in front of you, that what we did was one person would walk 10 meters, then sit down. And then the next guy would walk up, tap you on the back. He would walk 10 meters. He would sit down, tap you on the back, 10 meters, sit down. And that is how we got off the mountain alive. If you were alone, you would have died. Guaranteed, hands down, you would have died. Because the GPSs weren't working with lightning and with electrical interference. I remember my wife and a bunch of church people were praying for us on the mountain. It was absolutely insane. The race got canceled. They found someone 3 days later on the mountain. The point is, we couldn't have done it alone. You walked 10 meters, then someone would tap you on the shoulder, and you went again 10 meters. That is walking in step with each other. Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. There's a reason for that. Okay, alone, we can't do it. May I have my three fellow elders up on the stage for me quickly? You are my props. I like this. Okay. So. Okay, he's too big. That's not going to work. He's too strong. That's not going to work. Okay, so please don't try and kill each other. Okay, Francois. Ivan, would you please scrum against Francois? Okay, put your shoulder in. Put your shoulder in. Don't hit each other. Just scrum against each other a little bit. Okay. You can give each other a push. Okay, go. Okay, go. Push. There we go. Okay, stop, gents. Okay, now stop. Dylan, would you please help Francois? Okay, gents. Here we go. Okay. Van Vieren, let's go. Come. Okay, go. You see what I mean, gents? When we come, sorry, Ivan here was the evil one. When we do things alone, we face opposition that is as strong as we are. When we do things together, we can overcome that opposition. You see what happened? As soon as Dylan joined in, okay, look, Dylan is a big, strong guy. I get that. But as soon as Dylan joined in, they could push Ivan back. If you go alone, you will fail. You will fail. You cannot do this walk alone. It is not possible to do this Christian walk alone. When Paulette and I just got married, I'm massaging this in, sorry. I'm massaging this in. Paulette and I had a wonderful couple that led us when we just got married called Darvi and Liesel. Now, a lot of you know them, a lot of you don't know them. They are an incredible couple and so annoying sometimes because they would say exactly the right thing that I didn't want to hear. They would go, we hear you guys have some marital problems. We're coming over for tea. No, 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 don't worry, we're outside. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, my wife had phoned Darvi and go, I cannot, I'm going to kill this college. I'm going to, and then they're there. And then I'm going, no, 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 no. I'm Afrikaans. We don't moan about things. I am an island, like Simon and Garfunkel said. I'm a rock. I will sort it out. I'll make a plan. Boer maak 'n plan. You're not going to speak into my life. And they would go, we've been through this before. And college, you're a sucky husband. I'm amazing. I mean, I'm perfect. No, bro, you're not. You suck as a husband. And I know that I can say that because Andrew said it in a couple of his preaches. And you know what? My marriage is falling apart. I've got a beautiful, incredible wife that I've been married to 16 years. But she is a lot smarter than me. She is very headstrong and very successful businesswoman. The problem is I didn't know how to lead her. I was too weak. I couldn't lead her. But Darvi and Liesel taught me how to be a better husband, how to lead stronger. I followed them and they taught me how to be married. It sounds simple, but it wasn't. Being married to my wife was difficult. I wanted to marry the Ferrari. I had to pay the services. That's one thing Liesl said. On that note, put up picture number 5, please. So I'm glad you guys are laughing so much. So that is a trail run that I did in Switzerland. Okay, now I want you guys to specifically focus on something. There's a little line there that goes back down and back up again. They're just past kilometer number 10. Now, I was running professionally and I was running well and I got invited to this race and I ran and I was smoking the other oaks. I was running and I'm going, ugh, listen, I'm going to run away from these oaks from kilometer 1. I broke away kilometer 1 and I was miles in front. Didn't have the GPX track where your watch shows you where to go, but I was running and I was tearing the field apart. All on my own. I'm going to do it. Just before the race, my wife phoned me and said, don't forget to look up every now and again. Just enjoy the mountains. So, you see where that little dog leg goes down? Just then I looked up and went, wow. And I missed a marker. And I ran 6 kilometers extra in the 35-kilometer race. Thank you, wife. So I went from first to like 10th. Okay. So I am the, I didn't win it. I am the poster child for being lost, okay? There was a stage where I was literally the pin-up boy in South African trail running for the guy who got lost the most. Everybody would be like, follow the leaders, except him. Don't follow him, okay? Don't follow him. You cannot do this alone. Okay. Can you show me picture number 6, please? Okay. When you walk in step with someone, that literally means you tie to them by the hip. That means you walk with them inseparably. Now, I am accountable to my wife. Okay, that's one thing. But that's not enough. Being accountable to your wife is not enough. She, unfortunately, doesn't understand the struggles that men go through. So you need to be accountable to someone else. Yes, I am tied to my wife for as long as the two of us shall live. Thankfully. But you need to also walk with someone else. You need to tie yourself to someone that person can walk with you. Sorry, it's my birthday. A lot of people are phoning me. Okay, so let me give you some practical handles. And this is a real preach. I'm from a very conservative background, so I like doing the alliteration, the series. So the 5 D's of discipleship. I actually had a chuckle. I went to watch the 5 D's of dodgeball. Those of you that have seen dodgeball, I realized it's not going to work with this congregation because you guys are too young. But the 5 D's of dodgeball, dip, dup, duck, dive, dodge, and whatever the case may be. That's not the 5 D's. The 5 D's are, if you're making notes, decision, dedication, determination, discipline, and distance. So the first one is a decision. You're going to make a decision to follow someone. Joshua 24:15, if you can put that up. It says, choose this day who you will serve. The NIV says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve. This day. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. This day. Choose who you will serve. Choose who you will follow. The first decision you've got to make is to follow Jesus. That's the first decision you've got to make. If you haven't done that decision yet, we'll get back to that a bit later. But that's the first decision you've got to make. Decide who you're going to follow and then trust them. You've got to make the decision based on trust. You cannot send a 10-ton truck over a 2-ton bridge. That's a real Josh Jen catchphrase. Jacques's been my best friend for the last 20-odd years. We've got a bridge that is as strong as a bridge can come. I know I can send a 100-ton truck over that bridge because we've got that relationship. Ivan, Dylan, I haven't known Francois that long, but I trust him with my life. I know that I can send a truck over that bridge and go, Brew, I see this thing in your life. I see the way you've treated Olina. I see the way you've treated Karen because we've got that bridge. If you don't have that bridge, you can't send that heavy truck over it. The coffees, the braais, the surfs, that's how you build the bridge. You've got to do it. Dedication, second D. Luke 9:23 says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Unfortunately, I don't know why, there are two things in life that irk me. Why do you have to brush your teeth every day? Why can't you just brush it once and they're clean? It's just such a lust. Like, I brush my teeth twice a day and use mouth, all that. The point is, it's just a lust. Why can't you just do it once and it's done? Okay? Everybody think about that? That's the first thing. The second thing is, why do you have to exercise all the time to stay fit? You get fit, that's the easy part. To stay fit is the hard part. Why did God make us that way? Why can't we just get fit and be fit and stay fit? Yeah? But that's the point, is daily take up your cross. That's the way we're made. Discipleship is daily and incremental. It's not instant. It's a walk. We walk in step with each other. It's not a single heroic leap. It's cumulative. Trust me, you guys see me up here? You have no idea how long the process was to get me here. Trust me, my wife will go, yeah. It's daily dedication to the word, to prayer, and to fellowship. To go, hey, Brew, I'm struggling with this. Whenever I buy anything of more than 1,000 rand, I phone Steph. Hey, Brew, this is what's going on in my finances. My wife and I have the 500 rand rule. Let's not even get there. That's a different tithing teaching. I phone Steph and go, hey, Steph, this is what's going on in my finances. I want to buy this. What do you think? Is it a good idea, a bad idea? And then he prays about it with me. He wanted to put up a wall. He phones me. He goes, Carlos, Brew, I want to put up a wall. Okay, I'll pray with you. I'll think about it with you. It's just good sense. Just makes sense. Do it. Small step. Make a huge impact. And it's gradual. Put up Mark 4:28, please. Sorry, I think it was my wife sending me messages. It's not. Just as a stalk of wheat grows in a predictable, gradual pattern, seed, root, stalk, head, so does spiritual maturity, as taught in Mark. As soon as a grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. Oh, no, wait, the verse before that. There we go. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First, the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of wheat. There's a step, and it's always the same. You can't do this alone. The soil can't do it alone. The kernel can't do it alone. The grain can't do it alone. It needs the soil. It needs the sun. It needs the life. You've got to decide to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, including the gory details, to the person you're walking with. Don't spare the details. The details matter. If you don't believe me, you can ask the elders how many times at elders' meetings I've piped up and said, guys, sorry, before we start, I want to confess I was horrible to my wife this afternoon. I can't do the meeting before we start. You can check me up on this. I'm doing it less now. Determination, the third D. Walking with a purpose. When you arrive at a race, you sure will know. I'm not going to pick on Jacques with this one. That when you start, you already know whether you're going to finish or not. You've got to determine beforehand, I'm going to do this and I'm going to see it through. I'm not going to stop. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You can put up the next slide, please. The next picture. This preach was actually birthed in a story that I told to Andrew and Liz. You can't quite see it, but we're wearing caps. And we're looking down, and that is myself and a friend of mine, Christian. We broke a world record that day, climbing up and down Table Mountain. The reason we wear caps is not for the sun. It's so you can't see what's coming. The reason is you can only see your feet in the next step. Because if you can see what's coming, you get demoralized. You look up and you go, I don't know if I can do this. But if you look down, just take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And I'm just determined, one step at a time. In the words of Finding Nemo, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep, just take the next step. If you don't know what the next step is, phone your accountability partner and ask, what is the next step for me? D- Determine for yourself now that I will walk step by step with my partner. The second last D, discipline. Ooh, we hate discipline. Getting up early, training hard, but pushing through when it hurts. When I was a lati, we used to get up at 4:45, train 6 hours a day in a school day. That was proper discipline. Walking with someone is the same way. You've got to have the discipline. You've got to decide to do it. Very often you're going to feel, I don't want to do it now. I'm not going to do it. Speaking up when everything in you says no, that's discipline. When that little voice inside of you says, but what are the people going to think? And you go, no, I'm going to be disciplined. I did a preach a couple of months ago over something that happened to me once. And I carried that burden for 20 years until God said, I want you to share that. And that was part of discipline in me that God said, I want you to share that because someone needs to hear it. It's hard confessing sins. It's even harder confessing the hard sins. I can promise you it's going to be difficult but worth it. I have zero secrets. Zero. From Francois, Ivan, Dylan, my wife. Zero. Not one. There's nothing about my life that I don't know. Not a single thing. That hidden corner, they know all of it. Do you know how much freedom it gives you to just know there's nothing that is going to be shouted from the rooftops that they don't know? Because the Bible says one day when we die, every sin you've thought about, committed, even in your heart, will be shouted from the rooftops. They know all about my sins. It's so refreshing to just be able to live and go, they know the worst of me. Don't judge when you hear. When people confess their sins to you, you have no right to judge them. I'm not saying hide sin. If there's sin that needs to be exposed, then it must be exposed. But do not judge sin. Jesus said, it is mine to judge. God appointed Jesus to judge, not you. I want everybody's eyes on me, please. We don't judge our brothers and sisters. Are we clear on that? When we walk this out, we are filled with grace and mercy and love and compassion. We don't judge because as soon as you judge, you turn your back on that person and you will lose that person. You will lose that person. It's not for us to judge. It's for us to listen, to pray, to love, to walk through. If that means you have to bring something to the elders, that we have to bring it to the church, then we do that. We do not judge. Okay, I really feel the Spirit is on that. And then the last one is distance. We've got to do this all the way to the end. There's no price for reaching halfway. Matthew 21, verse 28, the parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go to work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to this other son and said the same thing. He answered, sir, I will. But he did not go. Which one of these two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. The one who finished his task. There is no prize for reaching halfway. Show picture 8, please. Picture number 8. This is the Comrades Marathon. Those of you that haven't done it or seen it, it is a wonderful event. It's quite far. You run from Durban to Pietermaritzburg. And one year I ran, and I told my wife, we are going to go watch the 9-hour cutoff. It's not the cutoff for those people that are not going to make it. It's the 9-hour cutoff for the Bill Rowan, the bronze medal. Okay. My wife and I were sitting in the stands, and she's going, what is this all about? So this one guy rocks up. He's got 200 meters to go, and Chariots of Fire starts playing. Now, how the comrades' rules work, you're allowed to help someone up, but not forward. So you can pick someone up, but you're not allowed to carry them. This guy falls, and he passes out for like a minute. And now everybody's kind of getting up and getting worked up and cheering this guy on. And he starts crawling. And there's like 3 minutes to go, 150 meters to go before he gets his medal. And Chariots of Fire is going louder. And the crowd is going wilder. And we egging this guy on. And he gets up and he like stumbles and he stumbles and he stumbles. And he gets up and he starts running and then he passes out again. Ah! Not a dry eye in the house. My wife's like, the guy. And I'm like, I know. The commentator's going, go! And the Chariots of Fire is playing even louder. And the guy's going, yeah! And he's walking and he's falling and he's crawling. And we're like, go! And we're all crying and it's just pandemonium. And it's like a movie moment. It's like the guy's crawling. He's crawling. And it's like 5, 4. He makes it. It's a 9-hour cutoff. He just gets a different color medal, okay? But everyone was crying. It was beautiful. I look at my wife and I'm like, Signeno. That's what it means to reach the end. That's what determination is. That's what it means to push through. Wanting it so much that you will crawl. You will, your fingernails, that any given Sunday moment, you'll crawl your fingernails to make it. I know. Not the most godly movie, but a very good one nonetheless. Now, the devil will try and stop you from this. And he will use 5 D's. He will distract you. I just forgot to mention that to Ivan. Oh, the fact that I'm watching pornography, I just forgot to mention it. Fat chance. Oh, I couldn't meet with my partner today. I had a work function. I couldn't meet with him today, so we'll meet next week. That's the first E. The second E, disappointment. If I tell them, they're going to be so disappointed in me. What are the people going to think? They're going to be so disappointed. The third D, despair. I will never be forgiven. I've just sinned too much. The devil will do this, I guarantee you. His schemes are not new. I'm drained. Oh, I've had a hell of a day. Mind the pun. I just want to sit here and watch some series. I'm not going to go coffee with Dylan now. I don't feel like Dylan like tuning me. Not picking any Dylan. I don't feel like him tuning me. Like I just want to watch series and maybe some porn. I'm going to go to bed. Was that not cool? Okay. You guys get what I'm saying? Do you remove yourself from the fellowship? Doubt. This is the important one. Did Jesus ever really save me? Does my accountability partner even care? Goes. Did Jesus even save me? Does he even care? Does Dylan even care about me? He's just going to tune me. But I want to encourage you. Matthew 24:13. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. If you stand firm, Jesus said, you will be saved. Last scripture. The only way we can go the distance is if we go together. If you look at Ecclesiastes 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. And if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. Interesting that 3 strands, I believe, there's lots of interpretation to that scripture. The two of you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, with two or more gathered in my name, there I will be. So when you meet with your accountability partner, Jesus is there.